Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30 then. That's what we'll think about for a few minutes at the end of the year. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. Well, surveys indicate that the older we get, the more conflicted we become about New Year. As our resolutions get broken each year, so we become less able to commit to new resolutions each year, obviously, because we just think, well, why bother? I didn't keep any of them last year, or not beyond January the 2nd, or whatever it was. Well, I don't know what view you have of New Year, new beginnings, but if you're all weary with new resolutions, and I'd be amazed if you weren't a little bit weary with them, a little bit. I mean, you might be just full of optimism and every year achieve all your goals that you set yourself at New Year. But, you know, if so, you're probably barely human. But the rest of us don't do that. And if you're at all weary with where you're at tonight with yourself, then it'll be good to listen to the words of the central figure of human history and hear what Jesus of Nazareth has to say to us tonight. What can he say that could make us have something really new for the new year? Well, I have to confess that these words of Jesus are my very favourite words of Jesus. Jesus had just had a difficult time with people who thought they could manage without him. They weren't particularly impressed with him. So he responded with these words, Matthew 11, 25 to 30, on page 977 in the Church Bibles. He said, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Well, I've been remembering many of the people I've talked to throughout 2005 over these past few days. For many, this was a year of great joy and blessing. Things happened in the year that were wonderful things, and I've shared in that with them. But for others, 2005 was a very mixed year, falling far short of the ideals that the year may have begun with, as well as enjoying so much of life with so many people. I've been a minister to people who've fallen into sin of so many varieties, people struggling with ill health, people who have faced death this year. They didn't know they were going to this time last year. They were in this service and they faced death and have died throughout this year. People trapped by addictions and habits, broken by broken relationships, weary from the daily grind of life. Nothing more than the daily grind of life. Disillusioned, depressed, or in debt. That's been the experience of so many, not all the time, but some of the time. And I've been a minister to people in those situations. Now, in all these situations throughout 2005, we've returned to Jesus of Nazareth for our answers. At every point in all these challenges, in the joys as well as the sorrows, we've returned to Jesus of Nazareth for our answers. The only man who, with complete confidence, guarantees us rest for our weariness. Rest. So to these wonderful words of Jesus where he does that, he guarantees us rest for our weariness. Well, I love the way Jesus begins, because he praises the Father in heaven for hiding the secret of life from those who think they are smart and showing these deep truths to those who, well, he says it's little children, but I suppose we could say those who know they don't know. Those who know they don't know the secret of life. And the Father, Jesus says, yes, this was your good pleasure, that the Father gets pleasure out of doing that, that those who just know they don't know, the Father says, oh, well, I'll show you. But those who think they're so smart, who think they've figured it all out, well, Jesus says, well, they don't know. They're idiots. That's a paraphrase, really, but the wise person is the one who looks only to the living God for truth. And I find that so reassuring, that the living God takes pleasure in and looks for those who know they don't know. I know I don't know. I don't know. I know I can't figure life out. So I love those words of Jesus. He doesn't send us on a sort of infinitely open-ended pilgrimage to say, well, you know you don't know, and that's great. Just stay there, knowing that you don't know. No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't send us on an infinitely open-ended pilgrimage where the journey's the thing and there is no destination. You know, that kind of thing. Ignorance is not true knowledge. True wisdom is not immovable agnosticism. You know, that's just another form of, I don't know, arrogant cleverness, isn't it, really, where a person's like, oh, I know, I don't believe any truth at all. I know that nothing is true. That isn't smart in the eyes of Jesus. No, Jesus summons us all to himself to find out what we need to know. Listen to this deepest of all verses, verse 27 of Matthew 11. If you've got it open before you, just look at it. It's one of the deepest verses of all verses, isn't it? In the whole Bible. Matthew 11, verse 27. Jesus said this: all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Well, Jesus is in charge of everything and is the only one who can reveal God the Father to us. Well, what does he mean? He can reveal the Father to us. Well, he's not thinking of lessons in theology. Recently, I don't even know if it was like maybe 2 weeks ago, there was an MP in Parliament who dismissed an opponent's argument as a merely theological argument. He said, what you're saying, that's nothing, that's just a theological argument. By which he meant an argument that has no practical value whatsoever. Useless, you know. And I suppose we understand the cultural reference, don't we? A theological argument, total waste of time. Well, when Jesus says that he can reveal the Father to anyone that he chooses to do so, he's not speaking about a theological lecture. He's not thinking about giving a person a handout on the Father. No, Jesus is promising to personally introduce someone to the Most High God who inhabits eternity. To allow someone to meet with the unseen Father who sits enthroned in the heavens. And when it comes to religion, we should never settle for anything less than this. I remember my dad often speaks to people to explain Jesus to them, and I love the fact he always says to them, never settle for anything less than a direct personal encounter with the living God. Anything less than that is just rubbish. Don't settle for anything less than that. So anything that doesn't deliver that, turn away from it. Well, Jesus says, I can deliver that. All the smoke and mirrors of human religion is an utter waste of time. The only thing worth having is this, a personal encounter with the Supreme Father, who rules over all, heaven and earth. Well, there it is. So Jesus tells us there in verse 27 that he's in charge of everything and can deliver the only spiritual reality worth having. Now, when people talk like that, you know, everything is in, you know, I'm the center of everything. When people talk like that, when, well, you know, what do we know? When merely human cult leaders make big claims for themselves, like that sort of thing. Well, it's always a prelude to saying things like, and you must give me all your money, or you must come and serve me, or sell your house and come and live in my commune, or, you know, all that sort of rubbish, isn't it? That's so classically what merely human people do once they make claims about themselves. It always is a way of making people serve them. Well, what sets Jesus apart from all the phonies is that he follows up his mighty claims with what? Did you notice it? After he said those mighty words, verse 27. He follows up those mighty claims with gentle, humble words about helping us. Not us helping him, him helping us. This is what he says. Jesus said, in the light of that, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, I'm not going to make life more difficult for you. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The one who's in charge of everything wants to take away our burdens, to give us rest for our weariness. I think that's the most wonderful news that we could ever hear tonight, that the supreme power in the universe wants to make life easier for us and give us rest, wants to take away our burdens. I think, isn't that wonderful to know? Human religion makes life more difficult with pilgrimages, strange clothes, odd diets, inconvenient regulations, incomprehensible rules, and pointless rituals. That's a reasonable summary, I think. How unhelpful that is, how burdensome that is. But Jesus isn't ever like that, is he? He doesn't ever speak of any of those things. He doesn't ever speak of any of that sort of world of human religion. No, here, he just offers rest. Rest. Rest from all that makes us weary. He offers to take away our burdens rather than add to them. Well, if you don't see Jesus in this way, then you owe it to yourself to find out about him in the new year, as soon as possible. See what Jesus says again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does he mean by this yoke? Well, what he's really saying is this. You are going to follow somebody or some system or some lifestyle. You're going to do that. You're going to follow a pattern of life. You can't avoid it, to be locked into some kind of lifestyle, following somebody or something. You're going to be under some kind of yoke. You can't avoid it. But, says Jesus, if you will follow me and my lifestyle, you'll find rest. In the end, you'll have the easiest life of all if you do it my way, says Jesus. It's an appealing offer, isn't it? It's an appealing offer. I don't know what makes you weary, what you'd like to find rest from, what wisdom would you like to learn from this man, Jesus of Nazareth. What wisdom you would like to learn from this man, the central figure in human history. Well, by his death and resurrection, he sets us right with the living God and makes a really new start possible. And as we follow the crucified and risen Jesus, well, we learn how to be set free from, say, the tyranny of materialism and consumerism. He shows us how to give away what we possess, how to give away our money to those who really need it. He shows us how to do these things, how to be set free from owning and possessing, to giving. Defining ourselves by what we own is a terrible prison, and it's a common prison in modern culture. But Jesus shows us that we gain not by getting, but by giving. He'll teach us that. If we abandon ourselves to Jesus, he'll gently show us how to live this brief life now. How to make the most of our careers, our opportunities. Well, without wasting our energy on worthless investments, without allowing all our energy to drain away day by day, week by week, on things that do not satisfy. As we daily take the cross of Jesus, we'll be set free from the frustrating and disappointing goals we set ourselves. The things we think we need, we'll be set free from those. He'll show us what we were really made for. He made us. What did he make us for? Well, he'll show us that. He'll teach us what we should be doing with our lives so that we can know true contentment and fulfillment no matter what circumstances we face. He'll show us that we can know contentment, and we do not need to fear bad news. We don't need to fear any bad news, because in every circumstance, he can show us how to know joy and contentment, regardless of whether we're rich or poor, healthy or not. That's a wonderful thing. He promises that. He promises that he can show us that, and he's done it for millions of people down through history. Think of that, to learn true contentment regardless of the circumstances of your life. Well, as we daily trust the Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, we'll be set free from the burden of what others think about us. He'll show us that the approval of the glorious Heavenly Father outweighs all the petty judgments of mere men. This Jesus, who made atonement by his death for all that we are and all that we have done, he will set us free from whatever lies in our past. Whatever guilt and regrets and pain lie in our past, Jesus will give us true rest from all that lies behind us. He alone can give us a genuinely new future. Jesus alone can send us into 2006 with concrete hope. The gentle and humble Jesus, who has authority over all things, issues you with an invitation tonight. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.